A reading from the 40th chapter of Isaiah. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem, and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries, in the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry. And I said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers. The flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely, the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up, fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those that are with young. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The Gospel reading today introduces the baptizer, John, with his proclamation of a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as a fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah. As he spoke of a mighty one who was coming, John was preparing the way of the Lord. Unlike the other evangelists, Mark doesn't provide any details of John's preaching. With his brief quote from Isaiah 40, however, Mark points us not only to John's work, but also to the role of his preaching in God's greater plan and purpose. John was the voice sent by God to call, prepare the way of the Lord. In today's reading, Isaiah provides a number of pictures concerning the road work that was done when a king was coming to visit in the ancient world. The road needed to be straightened out. Valleys needed to be filled in so that they weren't so deep. Mountains and hills carved away so that they weren't so high. The exact same sort of thing done in order to prepare our interstate highways. And it's not just the grade of the road that was of importance, but its surface as well. Bumpy, rutted roadway is to be made flat and even, smooth and easy to travel. John's preaching of repentance was the Lord's excavator and dynamite and road grader and paving machine. All of this was being done in preparation for the glory of the Lord, The excavation and grading and surfacing of the road Isaiah describes were a metaphor for the repentance that was necessary if the people were to stand before the glory of the Lord. His coming would bring judgment and destruction to anyone who remained in his sin and who refused to acknowledge the truth that it is indeed a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, because no one is righteous before him. And the Lord wanted, indeed still wants, people to be ready for his coming. He made that clear beyond any shadow of a doubt when he told Ezekiel, "As I live, declares the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn back," he called. "Turn back from your evil ways. For why will you die? That is, why do you want to die, O house of Israel?" Dying. That's something certain. It's something no human being has ever been able to evade. To be sure, the span of life the psalmist describes, 70 years, or even by reason of strength, 80, while not universal, isn't unusual. There are some people who live as much as a decade, even two beyond that. But an end does eventually come. And the aches and pains that become all the more prevalent as the years go by are a reminder that the end is going to come. Like the grass, Isaiah writes, our lives are fleeting. Here today, gone tomorrow. This too was a message the baptizer proclaimed. The grass withers, the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows on it. And he wants us to be sure the Lord is coming. And yet that need not provoke fear and dread. Not for you who have heard the Lord's word, whom he has thereby prepared for his coming. That's the beauty of our text from Isaiah 40. The ministry of the baptizer, his calling to repentance, his proclamation that all flesh withers and fades in the presence of the Lord, is sandwiched between tender words of comfort and the proclamation that the Lord will tend his flock like a shepherd, will gather the lambs in his arms, will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are young. The Lord himself tells the prophet to comfort his people, to speak to them tenderly, to tell them that their warfare is ended. In the time of Isaiah, Israel had suffered greatly from the military of the Babylonian Empire. Jerusalem had been sacked. The temple had been looted and destroyed. But this warfare, the Lord tells his prophet to proclaim, this warfare is ended, finished, completed, done. Not in the sense of a prison sentence that has been fulfilled so that the one who has not been punished is now released and free to go. It's much better than that. The Lord has pardoned the iniquity of his people. The initial problem, the reason for their punishment, has been erased, expunged. For all their sins, the Lord promises his people double blessing. The Lord intends this message through the prophet to his people, for you, and for me as well. The Lord tenderly speaks comfort, release, pardon, abundant blessing to all who know their transgression, whose sin is all too evident to them. These grieve over their disobedience and recognize the righteousness of the Lord's wrath. His word for them, his word for you, is not fire and brimstone, but rather comfort and pardon and promise. He takes pleasure in your turning to him in repentance and faith. He rejoices to forgive and to strengthen and to bless you in Christ, to bless you with every spiritual blessing. With these tender words of comfort, heard and believed, the proclamation, "Behold your God," will cause no alarm. Instead, it will prompt rejoicing. The prophet is given to proclaim, "Behold, the Lord comes with might. His arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, his recompense before him." It wouldn't do to have a wimpy God, not with the might of Babylon arrayed against his people, not with the opposition of culture and society, not with the might of Satan and all the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. But the Lord God, who has claimed you as his own and made you a member of his Son in the waters of holy baptism, is no wimp. He comes with might, and his arm rules for him. To those who adamantly oppose him, he is a terror. But to all who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, the might and invincible rule of the Lord is wonderful. Martin Luther explained it very well. Though devils, all the world should fill, all eager to devour us, we tremble not. We fear no ill. They shall not overpower us. Why? Because for us fights the valiant one, whom God himself elected. And Jesus Christ holds the field forever. The next words that Isaiah is to proclaim are astonishing in their mercy and grace. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. What is the recompense and reward of the Lord? When you're talking about sinners, reward could be a euphemism for punishment. You get what you deserve. But that doesn't fit in the context here. The reward the Lord brings with him is forgiveness and life. Recompense means to make amends to someone for loss or harm suffered, to make restitution. It's something offenders are required to provide to their victims. And this is the word the Lord uses for the blessings that he would provide to repentant believers. As if he had caused you and me harm from which he owes us compensation. By speaking of reward and recompense, the Lord makes it clear that he has truly pardoned the iniquity of his people, that he has removed your sins from you as far as the east is from the west. It is as he promised through his prophet, "I will remember their sin no more." Your sins have been washed away by the blood of the Lamb. They are gone forever. Because of this, you can be confident that the Lord is speaking gracious and loving intentions toward you in the closing verse of our text. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. This is the intimate, loving promise of your Lord, echoed in the words the angel spoke to the Apostle John in the Revelation. The Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. By the baptizer's call and the wonderful words of comfort and promise recorded by Isaiah, the Lord wants to lead you and me to prepare for Jesus' return with repentance and trust. Even so, may it be done. In Jesus' name. Amen. Peace be with you. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting. Amen.